two stone warriors stand watch at Kyoto's Kiyomizudera Temple, their weathered faces frozen in eternal vigilance. Named Paradox and Confusion, these neo-guardians test every visitor who seeks the sacred ground beyond. But here's what travelers rarely realize. Similar guardians block the entrance to every meaningful pursuit in your life. They go by different names, rejection and criticism, yet their purpose remains identical. They're not there to keep you out permanently. They're there to ensure only the committed pass through. This isn't some poetic metaphor. These psychological gatekeepers have real power, capable of stopping careers before they start, silencing voices that deserve to be heard, and convincing talented people they should quit before they've truly begun. Yet understanding how these guardians operate their tactics, their weaknesses, their actual purpose, transforms them from insurmountable obstacles into manageable challenges. Your nervous system doesn't distinguish between social rejection and physical danger. When someone says no to your application, your manuscript, your audition, your business proposal, your body responds as though you're being attacked by a predator. Heart racing, cortisol flooding, fight or flight activated. This isn't dramatic exaggeration. It's evolutionary programming. For thousands of generations, social exclusion was genuinely life-threatening. Being cast out from the tribe meant losing access to food, shelter, protection, and mates. Your chances of survival plummeted. So our brains evolved an alarm system that treats rejection as an emergency. Picture receiving life-changing news acceptance, approval, selection. Pure euphoria floods through you. Now fast forward to the moment before you begin. That same opportunity feels terrifying. Your mouth goes dry, heart pounds, doubts swarm. This isn't weakness, it's a fundamental equation of human ambition. The bigger your dream, the bigger your fear. They're mathematically linked, inseparable as shadow from light. Nobody loses sleep over ordering coffee. But propose marriage, launch a business, publish your writing, fear arrives like a tidal wave. Here's the twist. Fear isn't a warning you're on the wrong path. It's confirmation you're on the right one. The same neurological system generating anxiety produces exhilaration. When fear arrives, welcome it. Its presence means you're pursuing something worth having. Research reveals something unsettling. When social status drops, your entire nervous system downgrades itself. Stress hormones increase, immune function decreases, cellular aging accelerates. Your body responds to criticism as though your survival is threatened. This explains why a single harsh comment ruins your week, why one rejection makes you question everything, why you remember insults from years ago while compliments fade like morning mist. The most counterintuitive resilience practice sounds absurdly simple. Sit still for 20 minutes daily. No phone, no music, no distractions, just you, observing your breath, noticing sensations, watching thoughts drift like clouds. This is mindfulness meditation. The paradox, by sitting with discomfort instead of avoiding it, you become more aware of pain, yet less controlled by it. Imagine holding a painful memory at arm's length. You see it clearly, understand it completely, yet it doesn't overwhelm you. After consistent practice, something remarkable happens. Rejection still stings, but doesn't poison your entire nervous system. Criticism still lands, but doesn't flatten you. You gain psychological shock absorption, the ability to take hits without shattering. This isn't numbness, it's resilience. Your mind becomes clearer, like settled water. Anxiety loosens its grip. You're more present during good moments, actually experiencing joy instead of worrying when it will end. Start with 5 minutes if 20 feels impossible. Sit upright, turn off devices. When your mind wanders, gently return attention to your breath. You're not stopping thoughts, you're practicing noticing when you've been lost in thought and choosing to return. This simple act, repeated thousands of times, rewires your brain's response to difficulty. Every successful person has faced rejection repeatedly. The difference isn't that they avoided it, they kept going despite it. Seeing rejection not as a verdict on their worth, but as an occupational hazard, like rain for a farmer. When rejection arrives, allow yourself to feel it. Don't pretend you're fine or rationalize it away. The pain proves you cared enough to try. Give yourself 48 hours to process the emotions fully, talk to someone who will listen, then move forward. The critical distinction is between feeling pain and wallowing in it. Feeling is healthy acknowledgement of loss. Wallowing is rehearsing the rejection repeatedly, each replay deepening the wound. 7 mental traps can transform normal disappointment into crushing defeat. Taking it personally, repetition, regret, prediction, comparison, just desserts, and exaggeration. Catch yourself falling into these traps and consciously redirect your thinking. Instead of, "I'm a failure," tell yourself, "I didn't make it this time, but I'm still good." Not all rejections carry equal weight. Some offer valuable insights. Others are meaningless noise. 5 common reasons explain most rejections. First, you didn't meet minimum criteria. Wrong format, missed deadline, exceeded word count. The solution? Follow instructions precisely. Second, you didn't give them what they really wanted. Gatekeepers often seek something subtle, specific experience, demonstrated problem solving, measurable results, or values alignment. Research them thoroughly. Read their work, talk to people who know them, understand their priorities. Third, you were chasing the wrong opportunity. Sometimes rejection saves you from pursuing something misaligned with your authentic self. Fourth, you're not good enough yet. This is the hardest truth, but also the most actionable. Skill gaps can be closed through deliberate practice, study, mentorship, and time. Yet is the most powerful word in that sentence. Fifth, you didn't do yourself justice. Sometimes you're so worried about pleasing others that you lose your instincts. Ask yourself, are you happy with what you submitted? The more options you pursue simultaneously, the less desperate you'll feel about any single opportunity, which paradoxically improves your performance in each one. Create a list of gatekeepers, companies, publications, and agencies. Systematically approach them all. The opposite of rejection isn't acceptance, it's attraction. Stop chasing opportunities and waiting for gatekeepers. Instead, build an opportunity magnet. A self-started project like a blog, podcast, video series, book, or software that compounds in value over time. Ensure it has 3 qualities: sustainability, you're passionate enough to continue long-term, visibility, it reaches the right people, and significance, it creates positive impact beyond personal gain. When you build an opportunity magnet, your inbox transforms. Instead of rejection letters, you receive coaching inquiries, consulting requests, speaking invitations, and partnership proposals. People who wouldn't take your calls start reaching out. You stop waiting for acceptance and start evaluating which opportunities deserve your attention. But this shift exposes you to criticism. Not all criticism is equal. True feedback raises awareness of your performance without judgment. Neutral observation, recordings, measurements. Constructive criticism expresses definite opinions helpfully, with perspective, acknowledging what works. Specificity, concrete examples. Relevance, addressing what matters. Nuance, recognizing complexity. And respect, delivered with care for your growth. When criticism stings, 4 types of distance provide perspective. Distance in space means viewing work differently, using Leonardo da Vinci's mirror technique, changing formats, or having others read aloud. Distance in time means taking breaks between creating and editing. Seeing through others' eyes means seeking feedback or imagining different audiences' responses. Mental distance, developed through mindfulness, means observing criticism without avoiding or exaggerating it, focusing on breath until you can see around the edges of the criticism. Before responding, consider the source. Haters and trolls deserve 0 attention. The peanut gallery of irrelevant nitpickers deserves politeness, but not serious consideration. Professional critics deserve attention proportional to their expertise. Peers offer valuable perspective, though rivalry may color feedback. Mentors who've mastered what you're attempting deserve your most careful listening. Your harshest critic is internal. External critics only hurt when they echo what you already tell yourself. Through mindfulness, you learn to recognize, not eliminate, this voice. Success is rarely the endpoint. Musicians achieve fame, slide into addiction, then make comebacks. Entrepreneurs succeed, lose everything, then deliver their greatest achievements. Success is happily in the middle before another challenge arrives. At Kiyomizu-dera Temple, a wooden platform overlooks a steep drop. The phrase "to leap off Kiyomizu-dera" means taking a leap of faith without guarantees. Soon, you'll face your own moment. Rejection and criticism guard the threshold of meaningful pursuits. Walk through them, the sacred ground lies beyond.